Over the next 5 weeks or so, we're going to begin a series in Psalm 119. We'll only just begin it because this, as you can see, this is the longest of all the Psalms. And each week we'll take one section, one letter of the alphabet, and we'll see how far we get. When someone said to Sir Edmund Hillary, or someone asked Sir Edmund Hillary why he wanted to climb Mount Everest, he said, because it's there. Psalm 119 is like that. It's there. I don't mean to say that we're doing it just because we should or we're doing it because we've got nothing better to do. I mean, Psalm 119, it is a mountain. It is a great, epic, huge mountain of a psalm. And in fact, that's actually the whole point of it. It's actually a great, huge, epic devotion to God's law. It's the A to Z of God's law, or the A to Z of loving God's law. And each section begins, you can look at it in your Bible, each section begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph Beit, which is reflecting on God's law. And you could imagine it would go something like this. A, how awesome is your law? A. B, your law is better than anything. C, it's counsel to the wise. C. D, I delight in it. E, it gives me everything I need. You can imagine it would go something like that. Until you get to the end and you say, man, God's law is so huge and so great and so powerful, he could easily use up every letter of the alphabet to say something about it. Easy. And you get the feeling he still could have kept going if he wanted to, if there were more letters. That's the idea for the series. Because God's law is so great and so huge and so epic, we should delight in it. We should love God's law. We should rejoice in it. We should savour it. We should want to eat it up. Not just tolerate it. Not just accept it, but love it. So that's the idea for the series. Let's pray. Thank you, O Lord, for your word, which gives us everything we need for life and godliness. May we come to love your word and your law as we spend time looking at it tonight. Write this law on our hearts, we pray, so that we might be people who delight in following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine being the sort of person who loves God's law. How could anybody ever love God's law? It's one thing to love his promises, I get that. It's one thing to love his deeds, although most people today aren't even interested in that. But imagine being the sort of person who loves his law. Later on, this psalm will say, your statutes have become my song. Imagine that. Imagine a whole line of lawyers and attorneys singing all the judgments of the court. And they're loving it. There's kind of smile on their face and there's tears in their eye and they're singing it out with all their heart, singing out the law. You know, someone starts reading out the law, the court recorder starts reading out the law, and they just start dancing. Later on, this psalm will say, your statutes have become my song. Later still, he'll say, your law, oh, I love it. Oh, you know, I want to grab it and give it a little thing like that. How could that be? What would it take? Imagine becoming a person like that. Well, that does happen. That will happen. You will become a person like that. When you believe point one, and when you want point two. Point one is something you believe in, and point two is something you want. And when these two things merge together or come together, like this psalm, you too will say, your statutes are my song. You too will say, oh, how I love your law. You too will say, day and night I dream about it. Maybe you've been a Christian for ages. You've been a Christian. And you accept God's law. You say, yep, without a doubt. Yep, no problem. Yep, sign me up. You accept God's law. But this is not about accepting God's law. This psalm isn't about accepting God's law. This is about loving God's law, delighting in it, rejoicing in the law. So when you are faced with a situation, you don't just do it because you should. Oh, I've got to. You don't even really do it because you want to. Even that's not enough. Even that doesn't summarise this psalm. No, no, you do it out of delight. You delight in his law. Imagine that. What would have to happen for you to so be like that? Now, when you are faced with a situation where you could go on and retaliate. Or when you are faced with a situation where you could go on and take revenge for what they've done, you avoid it. But not just because you should. Not even because you want to. Now, you avoid revenge because you delight so much more in his laws than anything else that revenge could ever give you. So much better than what revenge could give you. And so you say, no contest, no doubt. Imagine being like that. What would have to happen for you to so be like that? Maybe you're not a Christian. You know, this is not just about accepting God's laws. It's loving, coming to love God's laws. And so I've got to ask you, if you're not a Christian, what would have to happen for you to so be like that? Well, that does happen. That will happen when you, like I said, believe point one and when you want point two. So then first of all, point one. Point one is something you believe in. And what you believe in is this: the excellence of God's statutes, their goodness, their superbness, the wonder of them, the greatness of them. Point one is the excellence of God's statutes. Have a look at verse 1 to 3. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but they follow in his ways. What this is saying is that to follow God's laws is to follow his ways. To love God's laws is to love his ways. That's why you're blessed when you keep them. That's why you're blessed when you follow them. To follow God's laws is to follow God's ways, and to love God's laws is to love his ways. Though don't get me wrong at this point, don't misunderstand. God's ways are bigger than just his laws alone. His ways include all his deeds, whatever he's done. His ways include all his words, whatever he has said. All his deeds, all his words, they all come from who he is. They all form part of his ways. Even the way he made the world, even that reflects who he is. The way he's sewn this world together, stitched it together. The way he's composed it, the way he's ordered it. Even that is part of his ways and who he is. So don't get me wrong. God's ways are bigger than just his laws alone, but his laws are part of it. His laws do come from who he is. His laws come from what he wants. His laws come from his desires. Even those laws that at first seem to be very unpleasant, even those ones that make us feel heavy and hard, that we wish weren't there, even those ones that are a real imposition on our lives, even they are still connected to God and his ways. To follow God's laws is to follow his ways. To love God's laws is to love his ways. That's why you're blessed when you keep them. That's why you're blessed when you follow them. To do one is to automatically do the other. To keep God's laws is to automatically keep to his ways. In all of this, you can imagine a hungry man. And he's without money. And he's without food. And he's left all alone at Hill Street Grocer. Without money, without food. There's the sight and smell of fresh bread piled up. There's roasting coffee. There's the cheese wall. Just a wall of cheese. There's fresh strawberries. And he's all alone, without money. And I'm going to ask, how could God's law be more delicious to him than strawberries at that moment? How could God's law be more precious to him than money with which he could buy all that food in that moment? Because that's what Psalm 19 says, not Psalm 119, but Psalm 19. It says this: your law is more precious to me than gold. Your law is more delicious to me than honeycomb. And I've got to ask, how could this be? It's a confusion that I feel, that we feel. It's a confusion that C.S. Lewis felt when he was reading this psalm back in 1950. And in his little book, Reflection on the Psalms, he says, look, I understand if the guy obeys the law not to steal the strawberries. I even understand if the guy, you know, accepts the law and respects the law. I get that. But how could he ever love the law? Come on. You know, it's one thing to accept, it's one thing to respect, but how could the law ever be enjoyable and sweet? And he says, The law is more like a dentist's needle than a honeycomb, isn't it? The law is more like being on the front line of battle than gold. Hungry man all alone, fresh bread, roasting coffee, strawberries and cream. And the law which says, do not steal. How could that be a lovely law to delight in? Well, the answer, that was from Psalm 19, and the answer comes in our psalm, in Psalm 119, and the very verses we're looking at in 119, because it says this: to follow God's laws is to follow God's ways. To love God's laws is to love his ways. You're following where God is leading. You're loving what he loves. The same thing. And all of a sudden, when you think of it like that, your whole view is opened up to another view. Something new comes out. It's like you've emerged from a forest to realise that you're standing at the top of a wonderful, deep, luxurious valley. That's what's happened. God's laws are an expression of his ways, and when we follow his laws, he leads us in his ways. And don't get me wrong, God's ways are bigger than his laws alone. We already said that. But his laws are a part of his ways, and his laws do reflect his will, who he is and what he wants. Even those laws that at first seem to be unpleasant or make me feel frightened or make me feel heavy or uncomfortable or dry, even they are an expression of his ways too. Even they are the tip of an iceberg of this whole wonderful deep world that goes on underneath. His words, his deeds, his intentions, his plans, the way he made the world, where it's all headed, it all opens up to me like a vista, a view. And all of a sudden, as I start to meditate on them and think over them, I begin to see a whole new way that I could possibly live. I see a way where I could love the strawberries and the coffee and the shop's owner. I can see that in God's way, food is very good, and that's why he's given it to me. But God loves people as well. In fact, even more so. In God's ways, I get to love the coffee and the strawberries and people too. And so in this situation, I can start to think of other bigger things that I could do. How I could actually live out this law. I begin to think, well, maybe I could go and ask the shop owner for help. Or I could go and offer my skills, what I have, in return for the strawberries. And now I start to believe, well, is stealing ever needed? Each person does have something that they can give. And I don't just give up easily anymore. You know, my needs are more important than his. He doesn't need all these strawberries. I'll take some. Or I don't give up easily and say, he'd never help me. Shopkeepers never do. I'll just take some. No, I don't do that anymore. I care for myself, but I don't need to do that to the detriment of others. Isn't this good? Now can you see why it's more precious than gold? Now can you see why it's more delicious than honey? Because it opens up to me something else that I may have never even seen before. It reveals a new way. And this isn't just a cause and effect thing, where this way of living is just intrinsically a better way of living, though it is. This isn't just a cause and effect thing. This is a living God thing. Because this is his ways that we're following. This is the Lord's law that we love now. God is there watching over everyone who follows his ways. A living God who watches over the people who follow his ways. He's right there, right now, caring for everyone who trusts in him and follows him. It's a blessing when you live according to his law anyway. But more importantly, we're following the living God when we follow his laws. And so you could say it's a double blessing. It's a blessing on top of a blessing to live this way, to follow the Lord's law. Now can you see why it's more precious than gold? Now can you see why it's more delicious even than honey? To follow God's laws is to follow God's ways. To love God's laws is to love his ways. Imagine being a person like that. Of course, it is true to say many of the Old Testament laws are no longer binding on Christians today. That's true. That's because of Jesus. Many of these laws have been gently put to one side because of Jesus. But even there, it doesn't mean that we get rid of them or get to be angry at them or flippant of them. Even there, we get to say, well, no, this came from the mouth of God, and anything that comes from his mouth is precious to me. Anything at all. That fact alone makes them precious to us. Anything from his mind we rejoice in. But not only that, we can still look at these set-aside laws that Jesus has gently put to one side. We can still look at them and we can see why they were originally given. We can see why Jesus gently set them aside. And in all that, we get to learn something about the heart of God and the ways of God. Even in all that, we can still let these things challenge us. Even in all that, we can let these things give us a deeper view, the big vista. They help us to live in our corner of the world. To follow God's laws is to follow God's ways. To love God's laws is to love God's ways. So I've got to ask, do you love his laws? And do you love his ways? Do you love his laws? Do you love his ways? Or is it more that you accept them? Perhaps even tolerate them as a Christian? You say, better not. I could, but better not. I'd rather, but better not. Don't want to be naughty. Don't want to go against God on this one. And that's the reason why you hold yourself back. That's the reason why you keep yourself in line. I better not. Better do the right thing. Eye roll. Mumble. Most of us aren't ever in a position where we need to steal fresh bread and strawberries. We need to. But we are often in situations where we can steal if we wanted something a little bit more. You know, you're on the phone to the call centre and it wouldn't take much just to spin it around a little bit, just a few little kind of exaggerations, sort of, but not really, sort of. And, well, you know, the network has been dropping out a bit and it is easier and simpler to say it to this guy, you know, having trouble to understand him. And they do care about customer service and it is a $1 billion company. And they want me to actually be happy as a customer. They actually want me to probably just say a few things that aren't quite true in order just to, you know, get a free upgrade or whatever it is. Oh, no, I better do the right thing. Better do the right thing. Better do the right thing. And so you do. Look, I get that. And I'm like that myself. And I'm glad you did the right thing in the end. But come on, Christian, come on. This is calling us to a bigger vision, isn't it? This is calling us to something else, where we don't just accept it, where we don't just do it because we gotta. Oh, better do the right thing. You know, a dentist's needle. No offence to dentists, Chris. No, this is bringing us to the point where we love God's law. This is bringing us to the point where it's sweeter to our taste than anything else. You can't. This is honeycomb. You can't wait to read it and to meditate on it. And every time you do, the view is opened up to you even more. And you say, oh, how I love it. Point one is something you believe in. You believe in the goodness, the wonder, the excellence of God's law. To keep God's law is to keep God's ways. Point one is something you believe in. So let me ask, do you believe in this? The goodness of the law, the wonder, the excellence of God's law. To keep God's law is to keep God's ways. Do you believe in that? Do you believe it? Could you believe it? What's stopping you? Can you see how God's laws open up to you something more precious than gold? Can you see how God's laws could be something to you more delicious than honey? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine being like that? To follow God's laws is to follow God's ways. To love God's laws is to love God's ways. That's why I ask, do you love his laws? Do you love his ways? Perhaps you are in a situation right now where you could retaliate. You could take revenge. If anyone had a reason to strike back, well, you've got a reason. Fair enough. And everyone would say, fair enough. You had a reason. This is about your rights. This is about you giving back to them what they deserve. You giving back to them what they gave you. That's only fair. And you could do it, you know. You could cut them off and never see them again if you wanted. You could badmouth them and gossip them, or you could spread the news about what they'd done. You could harbour resentment in your heart. That would be the smallest possible thing you could do. That would be reasonable. You could do to them what they did to you. You could use others to make a situation where you get back to them in the same way they got you. Imagine being someone else instead. Imagine being someone who loved God's ways so much and so loved God's laws. And yes, you have your honour and dignity and rights, and they are very important, but so are theirs. And that may mean that they need to be punished, but you don't desire that. It's going to be done in the right way if they are punished. And you're certainly not going to use other people as little kind of pieces in your game to strike back at them. No way. You're ultimately going to put yourself in God's hands. You're ultimately going to let him be the judge. Whenever you follow God's laws, you're putting yourself in God's hands anyway. Imagine instead being someone who loved God's laws, who loved God's ways. This is what you see here in Psalm 19. God's laws are good, they are just, they are right, they are wonderful, they are lovely, they are the tip of an iceberg. And when you go down beneath the surface, they reveal a wonderful, beautiful world laying beneath the surface. Do you love God's ways? Do you love his laws? If you love God's ways, then you should love his laws. Every single one of them, every one of them is precious. Every one of them comes from God, from him to us. Do you love God's ways? Then you should love his laws. See them for what they really are. Well, that's point one. If point one is something you believe in the excellence of God's statutes, his laws. Point one is something you believe in, then point two is something that you want. I mean, if you believe in the goodness and greatness of God's law, then you should want to be a person who follows them. You should want to be a person who has that law in their heart. You should want to be a person who loves the law. So point one, the excellence of God's law, something you believe in. And then point two, the law in your heart, something you want. The excellence of God's law, something you believe in. And then the law in your heart, something that you want. Have a look at verse 5. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not forsake me deeply. If only I could keep your commands, he's saying. How different would I be then? If only I could keep your commands, how different would I be then when I'm on the phone to the call centre? If only I could keep your commands, how different would I be then when I have that opportunity for revenge? If only I could keep your commands, how different would I be then when I was faced with the secret sin that nobody would ever know about, when I was left all alone in a shop with no money? And I had fresh strawberries. If only my ways were committed to your ways, he's saying, how different would I be then? Then, if I was committed to your ways, then when I came face to face with your law, as I was reading it in the house of God, I would not be ashamed. In fact, then, when I came face to face with your laws, I'd praise you, because I wouldn't just be seeing your laws, I'd be seeing you, O God. I wouldn't just be seeing your laws, I'd be seeing all that stands behind them. The tip of the iceberg, I'd see that, and I'd see all that lies beneath the surface. If only I could be a person committed to your ways, how different would I be then? Then I would keep to your way. But as it is now, he's saying, now when I come before you, I can't praise you. When I come before you, when I come before your law, I can't praise you. Because it actually convicts me. It proves me wrong. It may even, at worst, drive me away from you. I wish I could keep your law so I could praise you, because I'd be fully in line with you and I'd see how good it is. But I can't. I can't. This exact idea is talked about in the New Testament in Romans 7. And he kind of does this best case scenario thing, where he sort of gets us to imagine, in a way, a best-case scenario, a good-as-it-ever-gets situation. Romans 7, you've got this guy, and he recognises all that we talked about in point one. He recognises the beauty of God's law, the goodness, the great, holy thing that God's law is. And he goes, whoa, that is massive. And he's seeing it for what it is there in Romans 7. But at the same time, without God, on his own, before God's help comes into his life, he can't keep it. He can't do anything. He keeps falling down. And so he curses himself. And it causes him stress and sorrow. Well, not the law that is stress and sorrow. It's him. He's the problem with it. It's not the law that does that. It's his own failure. And get this. That's the best case scenario when someone comes before God's law on their own, without God's work in their life. At best, they encounter God's law as a hard, stressful thing. At best, at worst, it just drives them away. They don't want to know about it. They say, I'm out of here. They don't want to have anything to do with it. At best, it's too hard. At worst, it drives them away. And so at this point in the psalm, he calls out to God. He has to call out to God. Even the best, it's still sorrowful and stressful. He has to call out to God. The opening section of this psalm, as you can see, it's 8 verses long. The Aleph section is 8 verses long, and each verse begins with the Hebrew letter Aleph. And these 8 verses can then further be divided down into two parts, verse 1 to 4 and then verse 5 to 8. And we know that you can divide this into two, these two sections, because they both end with the word deeply. It's really nice the way it's beautiful poetry. Literally, verse 4 says, you have laid down precepts that are to be obeyed deeply. That's verse 4. And then verse 8 literally says, I will obey your decrees. Do not forsake me deeply. See, he needs God's help, and he's calling out to God, and he's saying, I want to obey your laws deeply, so do not forsake me deeply. Without God, this law, at best, best case scenario, is stress and sorrow at best. At worst, it will drive him away. He needs God's help to keep it. And he's calling out to God saying, don't turn away from me deeply. Don't let go of me deeply. And, you know, this isn't just an ongoing thing, you know, where he's calling out, God, help me, don't turn away from me deeply. It's not just an ongoing thing. It's also an initial thing. Psalm 118 comes before Psalm 119 for this very reason. The placement of the psalms sometimes makes a very important point. We often get into the habit of just thinking they're a little random. But Psalm 118 is about God saving. And this psalm here, Psalm 118, gives thanks to God for saving. Gives thanks to God for saving by sending someone in his name. God sent a saviour to rescue his people, to give them the victory. He sent someone in his name from God. And it's here, in this context, that Psalm 119 comes. Our psalm comes. It's after being saved by God that we can come to his law in a whole new way. It's after he has rescued us that we can come to God in a whole new way. We can come to his law. It's because he hasn't abandoned us and left us to ourselves, Romans 7, that we can come to his law in a new way. On our own, without him, at best, God's law is a stress and a sorrow. At best, we need God to save. We need him to come and, get this, write the law on our hearts. Put it within. And you know this. You know that God sent his son Jesus. Jesus was the one who came in the name of the Lord. And on the cross and in his resurrection, he brought a salvation and a victory for us, even over all our failures. He brought a salvation and a victory by dying in our place and then by sending the Spirit into our lives to write the law on our hearts. And now God's law is within us. And you say, well, what does that mean? God's law is within us. What does that mean? Well, it means our hearts can now desire God's way. Our hearts can now see it for what it is. Our hearts can see it as more precious than gold. Our hearts can want it more than we want honey. After being saved by God, we come to his law in a whole new way. Psalm 118 comes before Psalm 119. Isn't that good? But it's not, you know, so what I'm saying is it's not just an ongoing thing. You know, coming to love God's law. It's also an initial thing. It's something that happens at the very start of your spiritual life, coming to love God's law. But it's not just an initial thing. It's also an ongoing thing. We constantly need God's help if we're going to love his law. All the time. That's what he says. Don't forsake me deeply. You've brought me this far, God. How could you let me go back to what I was? You've brought me to actually love your law. Keep working in me. Keep helping me to see it deeply. Let me look into it. Let me analyze it. Let me meditate on it. Let me marinate in it, that I may come to love it, your law. Then I won't be put to shame when I see it. In fact, when I see your law, I'll rejoice. I'll say, woohoo, I'm following you. Yes. How great. He doesn't just want to accept God's law. He wants to love it. And this is not just an initial thing. It's something ongoing. It's not just an initial thing to accept God's law and love it. It's something ongoing. So, Christian, how are you going? It's not just an initial thing. It's something ongoing in all your life. That's why I ask, how are you going? Point one is something you believe in. Point two is something that you want. Do you want this? Do you want God? Do you want his ways? Do you want to follow him? Do you believe that his statutes are worthy and excellent and true and good? Then you should want to follow them in your life. Do you want that? This isn't just an initial thing. It's something ongoing. So how are you going? Coming to love God's laws doesn't ultimately depend on you, because it's him who writes that law on our hearts in the first place, and then it's him who takes us deeper into an examination of those laws and a love of those laws. So coming to love God's laws doesn't ultimately depend on you, and yet within that system we make decisions and we cultivate desires and we keep in step with this whole process. So how are you going at that? So often Christians, they just accept God's law. Accept, at best, this is what it is, this is what it does. I mean, they'd never reject God's law. But then again, they have no love for it either. And they have nothing that would ever cultivate a love. It's something to be accepted, maybe even tolerated. There's no desire to understand it. There's no desire to see behind it. There's no desire to overcome their failings. There is no desire to be able to look into the law and see something bigger and rejoice. Do you have a desire for God and his ways? Then love his law. Want his law. Call out to him. Say, oh God, do not forsake me deeply. Don't let me go back to the way I was. Take me forward. Give me more. Let me see into this. If God's laws are something good, then it's something you should want, even as a Christian. No, especially as a Christian. If you definitely aren't a Christian or you're not yet sure, well, I've got to ask, could this be you? Could you be the sort of man or the sort of woman who loves his law? Who doesn't just live it, but loves it? Who doesn't just accept it, but even rejoices in it too? Have you been captured by a bigger dream? Could you imagine yourself in a time of temptation seeing something far bigger? Having ethical powers of right and wrong in a way that you never thought you could have because you've looked into the law. Has this changed the way you see God? Has this changed the way you see the Bible? Perhaps you already knew that the Bible had hundreds of different laws in it. Most people, whether they're Christians or not, already know that. But did you know how this is how Christians regard these laws? Do you know how this is how the Bible itself regards these laws? Has it been a bit of an eye-opener for you? Have you said, oh, imagine that? Could this be you? And if it is, if you can see a spark, if you can see a flame, if you can kind of imagine that maybe this could be a new life for you, then I want to push you further. I want to fan that spark into flames. I want to say, love his law. Delight in his law. Hunger for it. Want it. That's what I want to say to you. Call out to him. Call out to God to write it on your heart. And then call out to God to not forsake you deeply, but to take you deeper into an understanding of his law. See it for what it is. Write it on your heart. Begin a new life, learning all of God's ways for you. What a great thing that would be, to love his law. In the New Testament, in John's letter in chapter 5, it says something that, to be honest, even Christians really struggle to believe. When it talks about God's laws, it says this in John's letter in chapter 5, his commands are not a burden. That's something even Christians struggle to believe in. Imagine that, though. Imagine becoming a person like that who not only says, I love his law, but who also says, his commands are not a burden. Wow. Come to that, take that, call out to God for that, and see a new view open up before you. Let's pray. Lord, we long to love your law. We long to meditate on it, to slowly turn it over in our minds, and so to come to understand you and your ways even more. And even those laws which Christ has gently put to one side, we even long to come to love them and to know and understand you more from them. And so we pray that you would do this work in our lives, whether we're a Christian or whether we're not. And we pray that we would, like this psalm says, come to delight in your law day and night. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.